says is going to disturb things a little bit in their life, you know what they do? They procrastinate. They put it off. I'll get to it later when it's more convenient, when it's a better time. Let me say this to you. The best time to do what God says is right when He says for you to do it. That's the best time. There is no better time down the road. There is no better time. The best time, the right time, is right when God speaks to you. You do what God says right away. Instant compliance with the Lord. Here's the pitfalls of procrastination, because it really does matter. Procrastination is a big deal. Number one, this is what I call the possibility of procrastination. The possibility of procrastination. And I call it the possibility of procrastination because I'm talking about things that could possibly happen. They could possibly happen and prevent you from ever doing what you have decided you're going to do later on. The possibility of procrastination. God speaks to you and says, this is what I want you to do. And I'm pretty sure all of us in here at different times have had the Lord speak directly to us. Amen? We know that God has spoken to us. Now obviously when you read the Bible, the Lord speaks. But I'm talking about those personal times in your life where you know that God is speaking directly to you about something and He wants you to do it right then. But instead of complying, you put it off. And you understand, I hope you understand the possibility of procrastination. I hope you understand the gamble that you're taking whenever you decide as a Christian or even as a lost person to procrastinate. You know what I've seen down through the years? I've seen people, saved people I'm talking about, that jump all over somebody else for gambling. Y'all know what I mean? I can't believe that sorry Christian would go buy a lottery ticket. I can't believe that sorry Christian would go to a casino somewhere and gamble and bet on things. It's a shame. It's ungodly for them to do that. I'd say amen. But do you realize that every time God speaks to you and you say, I'll get around to doing that later, you're just as guilty as that person that goes to that casino of gambling? You're taking a chance. What makes you think that you're going to have a chance in the future to do what it is God expects you to do? You're gambling with your future. You have no assurance that there'll be a time later on down the road when you actually get to do what God tells you to do. So you're gambling with your future. And I'll say this, if you're a lost person, that's a big gamble to take, buddy. Big gamble to take. And I believe with all of my heart, there are people burning in the pits of hell right now who are there because of procrastination. The Lord gave them a chance. He spoke to them, gave them the gospel, gave them opportunity. I'll get around to that. I'll do it later. I've actually had people tell me that before. I was talking to one individual before about their salvation, and they said, yeah, I know I need to get saved. I want to get saved, but I got some living I want to do. Got some other things that I want to do in my life, and whenever I get all that done, I'll get saved. Man, that's a big gamble to take. You're gambling your eternity on a future you're not guaranteed you'll have. And people do it all the time. But it's not just lost people. Saved people do the same thing. God speaks to us, saved people, about things in our life that we know we need to get right, things we need to deal with, turn over to Him. Well, I get around to it. I know I need to. Lord, I hear you. I hear you. But Lord, you understand all this stuff I got going on in my life right now. You know what's a rough time for me and my family? I'll get back in church. I'll get back in the Bible. I'll get back to doing what I want to do or what I need to do later on. It's just procrastination, and you're putting it off to a future you don't know you have. For example, how many of you know that you're not guaranteed to make it through this day right here? We're talking about the possibility of procrastination. You put it off. You put it off. I'll get to it sometime down the road. How do you know you're going to be alive tomorrow? You're not assured of another breath. You don't know if you'll see the sun come up in the morning. You may die before you ever have a chance to do whatever it is that God has told you to do. It's a big gamble to take. Here's something else people don't think about. A lot of people don't think about dying. All of us probably to some extent are guilty. You say something like, you know you could die. And we, yeah, I know I could die, but you know the reality is very few of us, if any of us sitting in here today, actually believe in our mind we're going to die today. We know we could, but we really don't think that's going to happen. We're making plans for the future. You know, I'm going to get old one day, and I'm going to draw my Social Security, and I'm going to kick back and take it easy. Well, you might and you might not. You may die. I'll tell you something else that could happen in your life. Not only could you die, but do you understand you could have something take place in your life that would completely rob you of your faculties to where you could never, ever, ever do what God has told you to do. Do you understand that could happen? Anybody sitting in this place right now could have a stroke just like that and you'd be out of your mind the rest of your life. Couldn't you? You don't like to think about stuff like that. But that's reality. We live out in the twilight zone most of the time. We need to come back down to earth and live in reality. You're not guaranteed you're going to live. And if you do live, you're not guaranteed you're going to stay in your right mind. You could have an accident going home and get a brain injury and for the rest of your life not have your mind. And you never again be able to do what God's told you to do. Couldn't it happen? Absolutely it could happen. We don't think like that. So you know what we do? We procrastinate. We're gambling with a future we don't know we have. The possibility. I tell you something else that could happen. Something could happen to another person that affects your ability to do what God has told you to do. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about this. Say what you need to do is get something right with another individual. Maybe you and somebody are crossed up about something. Christian people get that way sometimes, don't they? Get crossed up with people. Maybe it's somebody in your family that you're upset with, and you've been upset with them for a long time. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's somebody you go to church with, but you know there's odds there. There's a problem. You crossed up about something, and you know that the Lord has spoke to your heart about getting that right with that individual. But because of pride or whatever it is, you procrastinate. Well, I'll talk to him one day. You know what could happen? Something may not happen to you, but something could happen to them. Countless stories and testimonies of people who said, you know, I was going to call them tomorrow and talk to them about it, but they died last night. And they have to live the rest of their life knowing that their procrastination prevented them from taking care of whatever it was needed to be taken care of between them and that person. So it's not just what could happen to you. It's what could happen to somebody else that could prevent you from doing what you know God expects you to do. The possibility of procrastination. Let me give you a second pitfall of procrastination. Not only the possibility of procrastination, but what I call the probability of procrastination. The probability of procrastination. And I call this the probability of procrastination because I'm talking about how the longer you procrastinate, the higher the probability. It's just a matter of percentage. The higher the probability, you'll never do what you know God expects you to do. And this is one reason why the devil works so hard to make people procrastinate. The devil knows that the longer you put something off, the less likely you are to ever do it. Just a matter of percentages and probability. The longer you put something off, the less likely you are to ever do it. The longer you ignore the voice, the quieter that voice becomes. The greater the distance you put between yourself and that voice, the harder it is to hear that voice. It's like if you're standing right here talking to me, we can hear each other pretty good. I hear what you got to say without much trouble, especially if I give you my good ear. But now if you walk from here back to the vestibule and you start talking to me, I may still hear you, but it's going to be a little harder for me to hear you. You know what I mean? Because there's some distance there. And then if you walk outdoors and get over next to the fellowship hall, I'm really going to have trouble hearing you. And if you get a half a mile down the road, unless you can holler really loud, I'm not going to hear you at all. Y'all follow what I'm saying? The more distance there is, God speaks today and you put it off, well, you just decided to put some distance between you and that voice. and you don't do it tomorrow, and you don't do it the next day, and you don't do it the next week, and you don't do it the next month, and months roll by and years roll by, you know what happens? Eventually you get to the point where you don't even hear that voice anymore. And you become so distracted with other things that the devil's put in front of you that now you're not even concerned anymore about what you know God spoke to you about at an earlier time in your life. So the longer you put it off, the more you procrastinate, the less likely it'll be that you'll ever do it. And the devil's counting on that. He's counting on it. The devil doesn't mind if you get involved in things, even good things, as long as it distracts you from doing what you know God expects you to do. Doesn't bother him a bit. If it'll keep you putting God off, he'll bring all sorts of stuff into your life. Even good things. I'm not talking about sinful things. He'll bring good things into your life just as long as he knows it'll keep you distracted, so you'll keep putting God off and keep putting God off. Yes, Lord, I know I need to do that. Yes, Lord, I know I need to do that, but I'll get to it. I'll get to it. I'm just too busy. I got all this other stuff going on in my life. I'll get to it eventually. And the longer you procrastinate, the less likely it becomes that you'll ever get around to it. And here's the thing. Even if someday way out there in the future you make up your mind that you are going to do it after you've procrastinated for a long time, this is what I promise you, and you know it's the truth. When you finally make up your mind, if you've procrastinated a long time, it's going to be a lot harder for you to do it than it would have been if you'd have done it right away. That's true in anything in life. Think about it. Like cutting the grass, for example. Doesn't that get harder the longer you put it off? I mean, If you cut your grass every 7 to 10 days, isn't that what you told me to do, Brother Randy? Every 7 to 10 days you cut your grass? It's not nearly as hard to cut if you cut it once a month, especially if you got bahia grass in your yard. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That stuff's enough to make a preacher cuss, I'm telling you. But you get out there to a short amount of time and you run over it, it's not as big of a challenge. But you put that stuff off and pray, I know I need to cut the grass, but I ain't got time to fool with it this week. I'll get to it next week. Next week rolls around, it's done up, you know, knee deep, getting them little black things all over you when you walk through the yard. Well, I know I need to do it, but I'm just too busy. I'll get around to it next week. You know, another week goes by. It's like a hay patch out there. And it's a lot harder, isn't it? It's a lot harder 4 weeks down the road than it would have been that first week if you'd went ahead and done it then. It just made things a lot more difficult. You can still do it. It's just harder to get it done. Instead of just running over it one time, you got a double cut and triple cut. Man, you cut bahia grass and turn around, it's laughing at you sometimes. And it just gets harder and harder the longer you put it off. That's the way it is with procrastinating on the things of God as well. If you go ahead and do it right when God speaks to you, when you're sensitive and you're tender and you haven't had a chance to get hard in your heart toward it, it's a lot easier to do it then than it is a month down the road or months down the road or years down the road. Because by then you've created all sorts of issues with your procrastination, all sorts of problems. I think about this one family that I knew. When I was younger, and it's been a lot of years ago, but they had a new house built, a new home. But when the house was built, it didn't have central heating and cooling. So what they did was they bought a big window unit, and they put it in the living room window. And the living room window faced their front porch. Now, those of you that know those window units, when they run, what drips out of them? Water drips out of them, right? And this thing's hanging out over their porch, and it's dripping water. In the beginning, that's an easy fix, isn't it? Can't you do something right away to reroute the water, put a bucket under it? You can do anything fairly simply without too much challenge. Well, they didn't do that. They just let the water drip on the porch. And at first, it didn't really seem like that big a deal. But you know what started happening, right? Porch began to rot right there in that area. And they still didn't do anything about it. They just kept putting it off. So the rot spreads, and it spreads. And as time goes on, before long, the whole entire front porch is rotted. It's rotted. And you know what happens? The front porch literally caves in and falls off of the front of that house. So now they got a big mess on their hands, right? Got a big mess. It's going to take some time to fix that. You're not going to just walk out there one day and say, and get that taken care of. They got a big problem. Well, when the front porch falls off because of the way the house is built, it pulls the roof apart up here. I know this personally. It pulls the roof apart. So guess what happens now when it rains? The roof leaks, and it runs in. In the living room of this home over in the corner where that roof was pulled apart, you start seeing this big spot up there on the ceiling, because that's what happens when it rains and it leaks, right? Well, we need to fix that. We'll get to it. Soon, a gigantic hole opens up in the ceiling. I'm serious as a heart attack. It opens up in the ceiling. Before it's all said and done, they got 5 to 6 5-gallon buckets sitting in their living room in the corner in front of, you can't even go out the front door anymore. But first of all, if you did, you'd fall off because there ain't no porch there. Then you got 5 or 6 5-gallon buckets there that every time it rains, the rain just pours in and falls in that. Well, because it doesn't always hit in the buckets and the buckets don't always get empty like they should, it begins to spill over on the floor. Y'all following what I'm saying? I'm not making this up. This is a true story. Now you've got a front porch that's fell off. You got a gap in your roof. Your ceiling in the living room's ruined. And now your floor in the living room is beginning to rot. Y'all know where all that started? With a little bit of water dripping out of the back of an air conditioner. And that could have been fixed fairly easy, couldn't it? But because they put it off, and they put it off, and they put it off, it created a massive problem that was going to cost thousands of dollars to fix. Folks, that's what procrastination does in your life. When you're constantly putting off what you know God expects you to do, you start out right there, and if you don't do that, that's a problem. But then that problem, if not dealt with, creates other problems. And so if you do, down the road, finally get around to doing what it is God told you to do way back here, it's not going to be near as easy to fix. It's going to be a lot harder. It's going to be a bigger challenge. It's going to take a lot more time and a lot more effort. People that have gotten out of church have told me this. I don't know how many times I've heard it. I'm talking about folks that got out, stayed out for an extended period of time. Every one of them that I've ever talked to that did eventually get back in testified to how hard it was to ever start going back to church. The longer you stay out, y'all still with me? The harder it is to get back in. It's more of a challenge. Procrastination just makes things difficult. And this is why a lot of people who decide in their mind after some time, you know, I am going to do this. Once they decide they're going to do it, they look at the mess they've created and what a challenge it's going to be to fix it. And instead of going on and doing what they finally decided they were going to do, they say, man, what a mess and what a challenge. And they walk away from it and they never ever do it. The probability of procrastination. The simplest, easiest, best time to do something is right when God tells you to do it. The possibility of procrastination, the probability of procrastination. I'll give you one more. This is what I call the power of procrastination. The power of procrastination. I call it the power of procrastination because procrastination keeps us in a place or a condition where we cannot experience the full favor and blessing of God on our lives. That's what procrastination does. Keeps you in that place or that condition where you can't experience the full favor of God in your life. I want to give you an illustration. I've used this illustration before, but it's just a good illustration. It's a biblical illustration of an individual who procrastinated. Y'all remember when the people of Israel are down in the land of Egypt and they're asking God to get them out of that bondage? So he sends Moses and Aaron down there to bring them out. Going to use those two men as his instruments. And they get in this contest with the Pharaoh, right? And the Lord begins to send all these different plagues on them to try to get the Pharaoh to release his children. You know what one of those plagues was? One of them. It was a plague of frogs. Y'all remember that? Plague of frogs. Here's an interesting story to me about that. God sends those frogs, and they're literally everywhere. I'm talking, according to the Bible, they're in their beds, they're in their ovens. When they get up in the morning, going to make homemade biscuits. Y'all know what I mean? The Bible said they were in their kneading troughs. That's where the frogs are everywhere. They've covered the land. So the Pharaoh goes to Moses, and he says, man, pray that God will take these frogs away. If you'll get God to take these frogs out of here, we'll let the people go. We'll let them out of here. Just get rid of the frogs. And Pharaoh, or Moses, says, well, glory over me. He says, when do you want me to entreat the Lord on your behalf? You know what he said? Pharaoh said, tomorrow. I've always been blown away by that. Let me tell you something. If I go into my bedroom tonight, and I throw back the covers, and I slide in, and there's frogs in my bed, I'm not going to wait till tomorrow to take care of that. You understand me? After I get through squealing like a woman, something's going to be done. My wife's going to clean them frogs out of my bed. I'll stand back there and encourage her, but something's going to happen to them frogs. It blows me away that the man said tomorrow. Because you know what that means? That means that they spent that entire night, the rest of that day and the entire night, with all of those frogs when they could have had them gone right then. What a mess. But that's the power of procrastination. It keeps you in a mess, in a place in your life, a condition in your life, where you cannot experience everything that God has for you. For example, if a person is unsaved, spiritually speaking, they're in a mess, amen? We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. We went over some verses in the Bible that describe a person's condition when they're without Jesus Christ. And spiritually, it's a mess. I mean, it's absolutely a horrible, abysmal place of darkness. Every lost person is in that condition. You know, when they hear the gospel and they have an opportunity to get saved and they put that off and they say, you know, yeah, I might need to get saved, but I'll get around to that later on. You know what they're doing? They're just keeping themselves in a condition where they will never experience everything God desires for them. They're never going to have His joy. They're never going to have His peace. They're never going to have the hope that only He can give. They're not going to have any of that. And you know why? Because of procrastination. It's going to keep them right in a horrible mess until the day comes that they accept Christ, if that day ever comes. Here's what I'm saying to you as I get ready to end. I want you to look with me one more time. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 7. I want you to look at it one more time. As the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, verse 8, harden not your heart. That's the Holy Spirit's way of saying, don't procrastinate. If God has spoken to you, don't procrastinate. Don't harden your heart. Don't stop your ears. Do whatever it is that God has spoken to you about. And listen, even if I haven't touched on anything or whatever it is that might be going on in your life, it is still very possible that God has spoken to you this morning. I don't have to mention your exact situation for God to speak to you, because He knows your situation, doesn't He? He knows what's going on in your life. And maybe once again here this morning, He spoke to you. Just through this message, He's put His finger on you and spoke to you and said, this is what I want you to do. Please, don't harden your heart. If you're here today and you're lost, the Bible says this. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. If you're here and you're lost, don't leave here lost. Amen. Get saved. Make the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Don't put it off. You may never have another chance. That's the possibility. That's the possibility. You say, well, yeah, preacher, I know. You leave here today, you may never make it back to your house. We have experienced that right here in this church, haven't we? People that came here and left this building and never got back to their house. You don't know that you'll ever have another chance to get saved. Don't procrastinate. And listen, Christian, if you're backslid this morning, say, well, I'm in church. Hey, backslidden Christians go to church every Sunday. You don't have to be out in a bar to be backslid on God. You can sit on a pew every Sunday of your life and be away from God in your heart. Amen. If you know you're backslid this morning, you know what God's saying? Get that straight today. Don't harden your heart. Don't put it off. Maybe you're in some kind of bondage. Maybe there's something in your life that's got a hold on you, and God's been dealing with you about it. You know what he's saying? Get proactive about it right now. Decide right now that you're going to do whatever it takes through his grace and his power to get out of that bondage. Whatever it is. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come to you again today thankful for another opportunity to be here. Thankful, Lord, that you do speak to us, that you don't just leave us to ourselves, but you do speak to us. You deal with us and you give us opportunity. Maybe you've spoke to somebody here this morning, I don't know. But Lord, if you have, I pray that today, they would do business with you. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's go.